Now, 630 Chad presents the Elks This Week. A close-up look at the Elks and the Canadian Football League. Every week, we take you inside the game. From the voice of the Edmonton Elks, 630 Chad. Here's Morley Scott.
In Edmonton, the bye week is now complete. The Edmonton Elks have been back on the practice field now three times since the bye week ended. They all got a little less than a week off. They played, what, last Friday at home in that game against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Were given most of the next week off. Back on the field on Friday. Had to do it at Clark as they were setting up for the Monster Truck Show at Commonwealth. Then they had Saturday off. Then they practiced again on Sunday at Clark again because of the Monster Truck Show. And today we're back at Commonwealth Stadium on the brick field getting set for practice as they get ready to go to Vancouver to play the BC Lions on Saturday night. A game, of course, you'll hear right here on 6:30. Jet 8 o'clock start time for the game, 6:30 for the countdown to kickoff. So everybody's back from the bye week. I thought I'd get the show started tonight by checking in with a few players about their bye weeks to see how it went and what they did. Let's hear from Thomas Costigan, Sergio Castillo, Adam Konar, and we'll start things off with Kenny Lawler.
First, we were going to go to Banff, but instead, we just stayed around town and just did little different things throughout the each day. One day, we went fishing. One day, we went to K-Days. One day, we went to, like, some supermarket that was, like, I don't know, on Instagram. So, like, you know, it was one of those times where it was, like, I haven't had a lot of time to just sit down and just actually relax and just enjoy the city. So that's what we did. We just try to pick different things around the city and enjoy it.
I just went to Vancouver to visit my family with my wife. Just went out there for a few days, got to go to the beach and stuff like that. So it was nice to get away from football for a few days and just relax, hanging out with family and friends and stuff.
We got to stay in Canmore, and then we got to experience that little town, and then Banff, you know, we were there for 2 days, and just it was definitely all, you know, in every part of it, right? So that's pretty neat, you know. My girl Adriana, she just loves all, she's all about the nature, so I think she enjoyed it more, which, you know, it's always good to make the woman happy.
Did you get to see some animals?
No, I did not. No, I did not. I was hoping we see something, you know, because we got to go on the lift.
Yeah.
But no, we didn't get to see anything.
Yeah. I got to explore an area I haven't been to in Jasper, and we went camping, so we had a good time.
You an outdoorsy guy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, like, tell me about camping. Are we, like, tents? Were you trailers? What was the setup?
Tents. We drove out there, and they have those campsites where you just park your truck right there, and they give you a little spot to set up tent. And it was right along a river, so we got to explore a little bit too.
Nice. How important is the bye week, especially coming for you guys after seven games, a lot of injuries? How important was it for you guys to get some rest and maybe refresh mentally a little bit too?
Yeah, I think honestly more so than physically, it's mental. It's just the constant grind of always thinking about football, and it's obviously you love football, but at times get stressful, especially when you're losing and the stress is on you. So you just get that week to relax your mind and remind yourself about why you love football, and that drive comes back for you want to play good. So it's a much needed thing for everyone, and I'm glad we had it just now.
That is Thomas Costigan. Before that, we heard from Sergio Castillo, Adam Konar, and we started out with Kenny Lawler. Some guys hung around town. Some guys went to the mountains. Some guys went home, whether that be in Canada or to the United States, but they are all back and at work this weekend and today for day one of practice, getting set to play the BC Lions in Vancouver on Saturday. We welcome in now a good friend of the program, as we like to say. Nataya Jay joins us from Toronto. He is the Argos color commentator on radio broadcast, the host of the All Ball podcast, the Monday morning quarterback with Trevor Harris, and the Argos Cover 2 podcast with Mike Hogan. A very busy man, also an all-around good guy. How you doing, Nataya?
I'm doing great. I'm so happy, you know, listening to all the guys in their bye weeks. It's so nice that, you know, the guys are getting around town in Edmonton, because it's such a, you know, it's one of my favorite cities in Canada. And when I first signed to Edmonton, I'm like, you know, you don't know much about it. And, you know, you're like, okay, we're going up north. But my time there was second to none. I consider it a second home. So it's so nice to hear the guys enjoying Edmonton. It's a great city.
Yeah, some guys did. They just hung around town and did. It was a great week because the Taste of Edmonton was on, K-Days was on, the Heritage Festival was on, so there was no shortage of things to do if you hung around town. And, of course, guys who play in Edmonton and Calgary, that's a no-brainer if you have never been there to head to the mountains for a few days too, right?
No, absolutely. That's that's like the number one thing that, you know, you hear about when you get to Edmonton. All the guys that are like been on the team is like, okay, bye week, like who's going to Banff? Like you got it. You have something you have to do before you leave town. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and then it's, you just got to decide Jasper or Banff, which one are you going to, right? So that's the decision. That's the only decision you have to make because you got to go to the mountains if you've never seen them before.
Yeah.
Look back on your career. Did you have any real good trips or do any interesting things on a bye week?
You know what? Most of the bye weeks was spent going back to Toronto because the family, you know, we started our family right when I got to Edmonton. So when the family didn't come with me to Edmonton, probably every single bye week was spent going back home and spending time with the family. And a very interesting one I have is, you know, I remember a bye week in 2019. And you remember this play very well. It's a short pass Trevor Harris throws to me, score a long touchdown, like a screen pass, right? After that play, I take the ball and put it under my jersey and almost act like I'm pregnant, but it was just to signify that my wife's pregnant and we're expecting another one. So, you know, there was a bye week coming up. I don't believe it was that game. After that game, it was the next game after we played Winnipeg. We had a bye week, and we have a baby all set to come and be born. It was all set up. It was timed up perfectly, I thought. Get home for the bye week. I'm doing all the little things I have to do, you know, walk around, massage the feet, you know, do all the things to make the baby come out because the baby's scheduled to come out. And lo and behold, the baby's like, no, I'm good. I'm living good in this tummy. I'm going to stay a while. So the whole bye week, I spent stressed out. Unlike the guys you talked to today, they weren't stressed. They were carefree. They were, you know, relaxing. I was stressed because I wanted this baby to come out because I didn't want to go back to Edmonton and have to come back. So, yeah, I was stressed out. But then, funny enough, the baby doesn't come. I get back to Edmonton. We play a couple more games. And then after our game in Toronto, which was another opportunity for the baby to come, the baby doesn't come. We have a few more days because it was an extra long week till we played Calgary. So we had an extra long mini bye. Stayed home. The baby came then. So it was all good. She made us wait, but it was all good. So my bye weeks, that 2019 year, first couple bye weeks was stressful. Thank God these guys are about
so
to go through that.
That was baby number two for you, right?
Correct.
Now, tell me, is she as stubborn now as she's a couple three years old as she was when she was coming out?
You know what? It makes complete sense as to why she was acting like that because she's exactly the same way now. We tell her to do something, she's like, no, I'll do it on my time. So I'm dealing with a lot, Morley.
There you go. All right. We were talking last week on the Elks this week, and we kind of just ran out of time. I wanted to get to a couple other things, so we immediately kind of texted a little bit and said, let's set it up for this week. So let's finish off the conversation that we got into last week on the Elks this week. I want to get from you your take on what is the biggest story in the Canadian Football League this year. For me, it's Nathan Rourke. I think that's kind of a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, you know, and I thought about it a lot, you know, last week when we had a running back in Andrew Harris, who was, you know, performer of the week, right? And then a quarterback as well, Nathan Rourke, who was another performer of the week. He's been, I think, the league leader three times this year, performer of the week. And I'm like, when was the last time that's happened where, you know, the skill positions, like quarterback for sure, I had never seen, and running back, which is another Canadian, which, you know, it's just so funny because obviously the league is trying to lower the ratio, but then you have these, you know, like star emerging in Trey Ford, obviously, in Edmonton, and then Rourke, who looks like he's on his way to an MLP season if he stays healthy and continues on this path. And then, obviously, the old guard and Andrew Harrison. There's so much talent I see throughout the league. So that's a story for sure. Nathan Rourke, his rise, that's a major story. Another major story is just the Canadian talent that's emerged. I look at Saskatchewan, Kian Schaefer-Baker, unbelievable talent, playing really well. Trey Ford, who I talked about in Edmonton, Curley Gaines Jr., who's playing really well. So across the league, I've seen so many Canadians doing well, and it always warms my heart.
Yeah, it's great to see the Canadian players stepping up and playing really well. The other story, I think, is Winnipeg 8-0. It's hard enough to win the Grey Cup. How about to win the Grey Cup three times in a row, which is unheard of since obviously the late 70s or 80s when Edmonton was doing it. How good is Winnipeg in your mind? Can anybody beat them?
You know what? They played there's a few games this week I thought Ottawa could have had them. There's just some winnable games. I thought Toronto was really close. They missed the extra point. So that's three games out of the eight right there that I thought they could have been had. But it just after winning two great cups, there's no situation that phases them, it looks like, right? Any situation in the game, they're like, okay, we know they have that confidence from winning back-to-back great cups. They can get through anything, and that's how they're playing. Because a lot of these other teams, like, you know, obviously Ottawa won their first game, but they were in a lot of games this season. Montreal was in a lot of games this season, but late in games, you see them, you know, kind of fold, and you know, they don't have that confidence of a team that's won great cups, that's been there, done that, that understands that, you know, each other, everybody on that sideline has each other's back. So, you know, Winnipeg, they are beatable, but it's going to take your best game. You can't go in there with your B game or a C game and expect to win, because they can win with their C game or B game sometimes. But
hey, they won with the B or C game in Edmonton a week and a half ago, right? I mean,
that was a winnable game.
Zach Kolaris only completed 7 passes in the game, but most of them were pretty meaningful. And even post game, Chris Jones, you know, we talked to him about. You know, how they had them in certain situations, but Winnipeg always got off the mat. And he said, good teams find a way to win games. And even when you're not playing well, you find a way to win. And that's exactly what Winnipeg does. And their games this year, they haven't been dominant, but they always come out in the right end.
No, absolutely. And that Edmonton game was the epitome of that, right? Edmonton comes out with their A game or maybe A minus game. They win that game easily. That game was there for the taking. But obviously, you know, we talked about Zach Kolaris and his passes being meaningful. They find a way. Even with guys are injured, they find a way. And that's the definition of a good team. And I always think back, obviously, like, the team hasn't won three great cups since Edmonton. Have you seen a team this, I won't say dominant, because it doesn't seem like it's dominant, but, like, two great cups speaks for itself. But have you seen a team, like what's the last team you saw like this? Would it have been Montreal back in their dynasty days?
Yeah, probably Montreal back in what, in 09 and 10, right? Or was it 10 and 11, whatever those years were, that when they won the Grey Cup. And they were pretty dominant. But then Anthony Calvillo got sick and had to step out for a while, right? I think that's kind of when things started to implode a little bit for the Alouettes. But, yeah, they were as dominant as you get going back to, you know, the 70s and 80s when Edmonton was winning 5 in a row. So, I mean, even those teams at Edmonton, I think they had a 500 record 1 year or one game over 500 1 year. And you know, they got the scare against Ottawa in the Grey Cup game as well and had to come from behind to win it. I mean, and that's another good example of, like, what Winnipeg's doing. Good teams find a way to win. You don't have to play at your best all the time, but if you play at your best at the right times, and good teams always seem to do that, you win games.
Yeah, timing is everything.
Absolutely. We started to touch on this, and we ran out of time last week. I'll preface this now by saying I asked you this last week, but I'll give you more time to answer. I was on with the Hamilton Tiger Cats podcast yesterday, and we were talking about the West and the East, and they asked me who is the most dangerous team in the East right now, and my only answer I could give them is the most dangerous team in the East is the team that finishes fourth in the West, because the East is so bad this year. I mean, Winnipeg's got 8 wins. The East now has 8 wins combined. Why is the East so bad?
That's a great question. I've been thinking about this for a while. And, you know, I think about, you know, how close these games have been. Like, Montreal, they could easily, they're 2-5 right now. They could easily, that record could be flipped easily, right? And Ottawa, obviously, they're 1-6. But I would say it could be flipped, but they could be at least 500. That's how close these games have been. It's just so interesting. They've been tight games, but they haven't been able to figure it out. I think it'll even out. I still think there's going to be a crossover team. The West is just way too strong at this point. But it's just tough. I can't put my finger on it. Just no consistency throughout the East. Hamilton seems to have regressed. Dane Evans seems to be pressing a little bit since he's the starting quarterback now. It seems like, okay, he's trying to put it all on his shoulders and regain that, you know, sort of magic that the Hamilton has had the last couple of years. Montreal, obviously, they make a quarterback change in the second game of the year and a coaching change in, what, the third or fourth game of the year. So, yeah, there's a lot going on there. And Ottawa, they were 0-6. They're 1-6 now. There are a lot of questions about LaPolice. They had their star quarterback get hurt. So just no consistency. And I look at the West, right? They've got Winnipeg, obviously 8-0, same quarterback, same head coach. Roster is pretty much similar throughout every week, right? BC, things are new there, but they seem to have a role in. Bourque was there last year. Jordan McSimmick was there last year, right? And he's got his second year with that offense and kind of implement more of his style since Michael Riley's not there. He can kind of – this is his offense now, not just what Michael likes to do. Calgary, obviously, they're a pillar of consistency, right? It's the same GM, same head coach, same quarterback. Now, Saskatchewan, Jason Moss was there last year. We know him well. Fajardo, he's had some struggles, but that defense is their strong point. A lot of the same pieces. Larry Dean's back. Shivers is there, you know, implementing that Chris Jones style that he learned. And then we got Edmonton, who at 2-5, they'd be in second place in the East and one game out of first. So it's just, I think about the West and I think about consistency and I think of the East, just questions. Too many questions in football. You need answers, not questions.
Yeah, and it's all about, you talked about consistency and you talked about stability. I mean, the best two teams in the CFL the last 5 years, Winnipeg and Calgary, and they pretty much got the same coaching staff for that entire time, right? Both teams. So that's such an important part of it.
No, absolutely. And you know, you talk about building a culture. Those two teams have the best culture in the CFL, and that's whatever your roster is. Once you have that culture set and it's set from the top, guys just fall in place, and that's why you get the results year in and year out like those teams have. And every team you go to, oh, they talk about, you know, trying to establish a culture. Now, when you talk about Winnipeg and Calgary, they're about maintaining that culture. The standard has been set. Now it's about the guys meeting it. And Edmonton now is trying to establish the new culture with Chris Jones, right? Team like Ottawa, they've got, you know, a lot of new pieces that they brought in. They're trying to establish a culture going forward. And sometimes you go through some growing pains when you're trying to establish culture. But we know with Jones, especially in Edmonton, year 2 and 3 is when that culture is set, the team really starts to take off.
It's a marathon, not a sprint, as the saying goes. Give me your pick on a team maybe that's not so much down and out now, but really not in the thick of things now, in the East or the West. And I guess that's basically Saskatchewan and Edmonton in the West and anybody in the East, I guess, that who could surprise by the time the end of the season rolls around.
Yeah, I think, well, Saskatchewan is 4-4 right now. But on paper and schematically, I think they can beat anyone in the league. They have the ability to win, beat anyone in the league and lose to anyone for whatever reason, whether it's penalties or, you know, for whatever reason. But, like, I feel like they have the ability, like, they've got a strong enough O-line, D-line, where you really need to win late in the season. Running game is their strength on offense. And Cody's running ability is something that they're going to need to win, because he's not just the Ricky Ray type where he can just dice you from from the pocket. He needs to be able to use his legs to set up some of his passes and play action stuff. So Saskatchewan is who I think is kind of, you know, they've been losing a little bit lately, but once they get, like, fully healthy, Cody's fully healthy, I think they can beat anyone and, you know, and kind of be a dark horse. And in the East, you know, Montreal is kind of a team, not just because I do the podcast with Trevor, and he gives me inside information, but I really like them on paper. And they literally have all of 2019's Edmonton D linemen, right? Usher, Sewell, who else am I missing? Was one more guy. Usher, Sewell.
I'm trying to remember, guy. Too. They had Antonio Simmons, but they released him, right?
Simmons, yeah. That was another game. But, yeah, when I see their D-line, I think about, man, Edmonton 2019. But so that D-line should be strong, should be getting a lot more sacks. They just haven't been able to get that pressure. Defense has let them down a little bit, and penalties at the wrong time has been letting them down. But I think in the East, they can also beat anybody, and they showed this year they can lose to anybody. But you know, if they get hot, they're a dark horse team for me.
All right. Nate, always great to talk to you, man. We got to do an hour show sometime and talk to you, because it's always entertaining. Appreciate your enthusiasm and your wealth of knowledge, and we'll see you somewhere down the road, my friend.
I'm looking forward to it. I can't believe how fast these shows go by. I like say like two sentences and then we're wrapping up. I can't believe it. I guess we're having fun, huh?
That's right. Exactly right. We are. We'll do it again, Nate. Thanks very much, man. Have a great day.
Take care, Morley. Always a pleasure.
All right, that is Nate Ajay, ex-member of the Edmonton Football Club, talking to us from Toronto, where he's working for the Argos now on their radio broadcast. We're talking about getting the Grey Cup ring. A member of the Edmonton Elks got a Grey Cup ring in that game against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers a couple of weeks ago. We'll talk about that and hear from Sergio Castillo when we come back on the Elks This Week on 630 CHED.
Now, more football talk on the Elks This Week. Here's Morley Scott on the voice of the Edmonton Elks, 630 CHED.
Next game for the Elks will be Saturday night in Vancouver against the BC Lions. BC's 5-1, Elks are 2-5. We'll have it for you here on 630 CHED. 8 o'clock kickoff, 6:30 for the pregame show. Last game the Elks played was that tough loss to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. A pretty memorable game for Sergio Castillo because he got rewarded for his time with the Blue Bombers the year before as they presented him with his Grey Cup ring.
Definitely special, brought back, you know, the memories of the run that we had, you know, those towards the end of the season. So, you know, Coach Boo, a special teams coach, gave it to me. So it was pretty nice. And, you know, the ring is huge, I'll say that, you know. So it was good to see the guys, you know, and Coach Osh. And so it was definitely just good seeing, catching up with the guys.
Go back to the game. What do you remember about the game? 5-for-5. I know that's probably what you remember a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it was not a game that I was expecting, right? You know, having a big part. Just got, you know, cards landed in the right spot, you know, and I was able to do my part. And but just remember being very calm, you know, and able to enjoy every part of it. I remember when we first got there to, you know, a week before, you know, Osh was like, we have 128 hours, 96, 72, and it just kept going down. I was like, oh, wow, it's going by quick, because I was enjoying everything about it.
Yeah. Talk about John Ryan joining. I don't know if the kickers have a room, like the quarterbacks have a room or not, but talk about John Ryan joining his team, man. That's a guy who's kind of a legend. I mean, he's got the Super Bowl ring, so many great years in Seattle, Canadian. He's a bit of a legend around here.
He's something that I would like to be, right? You know, if I can kick till the age that he's in, you know, that's the goal, right? And if I can have longevity and the success that he's had, that's something that I want. But more than anything, what's cool is just he's just one of the guys. Yeah, you know, you never know. I had never met him before, you know, and he's just one of the guys. You know, he doesn't have anything like showboat or anything. Like, no, he's just one of the guys. And that's one thing you really appreciate when you get to meet people who have had the career they've had. And to see, well, that's a humble guy. He's just one of the guys. I think that's one of the best things when you meet someone of that type of status.
Yeah, and as he told us earlier, I mean, he just loves the game. Like, he's 40 years old, doesn't have to keep kicking.
Yeah.
But he can keep kicking, and he's going to, because he just loves the game.
Yeah, and then just to have him here, you know, brings, you know, a peace of mind, because, you know, it's always good to have someone who's older, you know. Even though I've been in here for 7-8 years, I still want to grow. I want to be a sponge. So anything that I can get from him, I'll take it.
Look ahead to the next. I've been asking this question to a few guys. The next four games, you got the potential really to turn things around. Two teams ahead in the standings. Team in Ottawa, who you should beat moving forward. It's a chance to maybe get some traction here.
Yeah, and the main thing is going 1-0, right? And the main thing is, and also it's just like we've been improving, right? I don't know much about football, but it's fun to watch every game now, right? The way that Taylor's been moving the ball is like, okay. We got a spark on offense. We got a passing game, you know, our defense, you know, so, and, you know, special teams. So every week there's been improvement. And so, and when it's fun to watch, that means we're doing something right.
That's Sergio Castillo, Elks kicker, who was presented with this Grey Cup ring when the Winnipeg Blue Bombers were in town to play the Elks in the last home game. Next home game is a big one. It's August 13th against the Saskatchewan Roughriders. It's a Saturday night. It is Wall of Honor night, where the Elks will honor Ed Jones, Joe Holloman, and Jim Germany for their run in the 5-in-a-row team. So that will be a special night to be there. Your ticket information at Ticketmaster. You can also head to goelks.com for more info. On the road this week in Vancouver to play the Lions on Saturday night. Thanks to studio producer Derek Scott for keeping us on track tonight. Also, thanks to our guest, Nate Ajay. Love talking football with Nate. If you missed that, you'll be able to get it up online at 630ched.com in the next little while. My name is Morley Scott. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning on 630 CHED Mornings with Chelsea and Daryl. Have a great night, everybody.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman. They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.